I want us to think together about the number 250,000 as we start here this morning. 250,000. That's the number of Americans that have already succumbed to this pandemic. They have not survived. And that's only so far. We're actually losing about 2,000 more Americans every day for who knows how many more days. We're told this is not over. Now, what should be our response now that we are listed among the survivors? How should a survivor respond in the midst of what's going on? That's what I want us to talk about here this morning on Thanksgiving Sunday. And the scripture that I'd like for us to look at to guide us in those thoughts comes from Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 through chapter 9, verse 1. It's actually on page 8 on the Pew Bible if you want to follow along that way, if you can in the lighted auditorium here. But we're going to begin reading with verse 18 of chapter 8 on page 8, where the Bible begins there by saying, "So Noah went out." And of course, the flood is over. The waters have gone down. God has told Noah it was time to disembark the ark. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I've done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Let's pray together if we could, please. Lord, thank you for saving Noah and Noah's family. Without their saving, we wouldn't be here. And without our saving, we would not have the promise of eternal life through your son Jesus that we look forward to. Lord, we thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, God's people said, amen. As we think about the ark of safety that God provided Noah and his family, I'd like us to think about three things. I'd like us to think about the blessing of going into that ark, the safety that that ark provided. I'd like for us to think about the blessing of coming out of that ark as well. And then last, the thanksgiving that was offered when it was all over. But first, let's talk about the blessing of going in. Think about this for a minute. Everyone outside the ark perished. Everyone. Now, if you think that's just an exaggerated story that was passed down from generation to generation, I would remind you that even Jesus Christ himself in the New Testament said, "For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept how many of them away? All of them. Every one." Now, Luke records Jesus as saying it this way: "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed how many of them? All of them. Everyone." Not just the story that's handed down from generation to generation, but even the story that Jesus proclaimed. Everyone outside the ark perished. There was a time when the population of this earth was 8. Only those that were buttoned up safely inside the ark survived. Noah, Noah's wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. And that was it. That was the complete manifest of all souls on board. All the rest of the souls in all the world perished. And I use that word manifest because I want us to think about this. We usually talk about a manifest when a ship goes down and all souls are lost on board. This was a manifest of all souls that were saved in all the world. What a blessing it would have been to have been allowed to be one of the 8 who got to go in. The only blessing I could think that would even come close to the blessing of going in would have been the blessing of coming out. Genesis 7:11 gives us a little bit of math to think about. It says it was in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of that year, on the 17th day of that month, that on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of heaven were opened and it rained 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth. On that very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons entered the ark. 600th year, second month, 17th day. 1 year later, the Bible says in Genesis 8, in the second month, on the 27th day, the earth dried out, and God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark. You and your wife and your sons' wives with you." 1 year, 10 days, after they went in. They finally got to go out. What a blessing it must have been to finally get out. You know, we hear kids bemoaning today about being shut in. And it's kind of cute, actually, to hear little kids on TV moan and bemoan about wanting to get out. You've probably seen some of those clips that I have where a little tyke goes running, breaking fast for the back door with a backpack on, saying, I got to get out, I got to go, got to get out. And it's cute until it's one of your kids who says, I got to go, I got to get out. And you got to somehow coax them back into the house. But what do we say as soon as we're out of the kid's earshot? You and I say, we got to go. We got to get out. We can't stand this anymore. Think about Noah and Noah's family. I mean, we've got Netflix and iPads and cable TV. All they had was one window for a year and a half. They were shut in with those animals. Now, we tried to envision what that might have been like a couple of weeks ago, and somebody after that sermon said, had it not been for the storm on the outside, they probably couldn't have stood the stench on the inside. And I'm sure the stench wasn't the half of it. As far as we know, this family hadn't heard from the Lord in over a year, floating around out there. And as angry as they'd seen God become with sin, they may have wondered if they'd ever see land again. But they did. And what a blessing it must have been to step out on dry land again. You know how they say the two best days in a boat owner's life are the day he buys it and the day he sells it? Can we see that picture? I love this picture I found on the internet because you can't tell if this guy's buying or selling, but he sure is a happy camper, isn't he? You know what the two happiest days in Noah's life were? The day he got his family safely in to the ark. And the day God finally let them out. What a blessing this man experienced. They spent a year and 10 days inside the belly of that beast. I can't even imagine. I truly wonder if Noah swore off ever getting into a boat again. I'll bet you anything his family did not get off the ark singing, Yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. I bet they were done with the sea. They'd headed up to here with boats. And I know this is not what the Bible means when it says it, but just a few verses later, the Bible's going to say Noah began to be a man of the soil. And I think to me, yeah, I bet he did become a man of the soil. He'd had enough with this sea. Didn't care if he ever saw the water again. You know, there are people today that are still looking for Noah's Ark. You hear about these expeditions up in the Turkish mountains, trying to find the ark. I can't imagine they'll ever find it because I figure Noah began dismantling that thing as soon as he got off of it. Turning it into kindling and siding and beams for his houses and barns and his kids' houses and barns, tables, chairs, beds, anything. As quick as he got out, he'd never want to be back in that floating box again. It must have been such a blessing to get out. Such a blessing. Fresh air. Now, I'm not downplaying the blessing that it was to get in. That was their salvation. But I don't think we ought to downplay the blessing of them getting out either. Noah certainly didn't. In fact, the Bible says the first thing Noah did when he got off the boat was thank the Lord. thank the Lord. Let's talk about that, the thanksgiving that was offered when it was all over. You know, sometimes when we're going through tough times, we daydream about what we're going to do when the tough times are through. We all go through tough times. Some here are going through some really tough times. Some of you who are at home this morning or in the hospital. A couple of you wondering if you're going to be admitted soon into the hospital because of what you're suffering. And I'm praying for you. And I know the tough times that you're going through. Unfortunately, I know some of it by personal experience. But sometimes as we're going through tough times, we start daydreaming what it's going to be like when we're finally through with this. And maybe you've started daydreaming about what you're going to do when the pandemic's through. I can remember daydreaming about what I was going to eat first after starving myself for days to make weight back in my wrestling days. Now it seems like I can't handle missing one meal, but I used to go 3 or 4 days without eating. And once I went 3 or 4 days without eating or drinking, I lost 21 pounds. I won the wrestling tournament, got kidney infection. But I can remember my mouth watering or trying to water through the night as I dreamed about the first things I would start eating as soon as I made weight. Unfortunately, wrestling season falls through the holidays. And I got to watch everyone enjoy their Thanksgiving feasts and their Christmas holiday meals. And sometimes I would snatch away a turkey leg and freeze it away until I could make weight, or my mother-in-law's derby pie, and snatch a piece. And I would dream about getting off those scales and what that first bite was going to taste like. You may be dreaming about what you're going to do, where you're going to go, who you're going to see first when this pandemic's over. I've not touched my 91-year-old father since Christmas. I know where I'm going when this is over. I know the first hand I'm going to shake, first person I'm going to hug. And me and Dad aren't real hugging people. But I bet we will hug. Noah dreamed about what he was going to do when his tough times were through. And he dreamed about thanking the Lord. Because the first thing Noah did when he got off the boat, the Bible says, is then Noah built an altar. Do you know this is the first time that an altar is mentioned in the Bible? The word for altar in Hebrew is derived from the word zabak. Zabak. And it means to slaughter. The first thing Noah did off the boat was to build him a slaughtering place. And that's exactly what Noah begins doing. He builds an altar, and he took some of the clean animals and some of every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings to the Lord. Which you and I might think is kind of an odd thing for Noah to do after the extreme measures that Noah had taken to make sure these animals didn't die and that these species survived. Not to mention that these animals would have been crucial to Noah and Noah's family's survival. The rest of the world sat in ruin and destruction. Survival experts would have told Noah to take careful inventory of what was on the boat and to guard his precious cargo. His life and the life of his family might depend upon it. And yet what does Noah do? He builds his zapak and he begins slaughtering the very animals he's been protecting. I wonder what Ham, Shem, and Japheth thought about that as they saw Dad do that. I wonder what their wives thought when they smelled the roasting that they had not smelled the last year of their life. I wonder what Noah's wife thought. Lynn and I bought a quarter of a beef recently, and we pulled the first piece out of the freezer this week. 2.5 inch thick steaks. I don't know who eats steaks that thick. Well, I know who eats them now, but I didn't know them before who ate. It took me 45 minutes of flipping and grilling just to get the insides of those steaks done. And by the time we were done, the whole smoking neighborhood knew what we were up to. And I'm sure Noah's clan knew what Noah was up to as well as they watched their precious cargo go up in smoke. And they smelled a smell they hadn't smelled in over a year. I wonder if their stomachs growled. And they weren't the only ones smelling it. The very next verse in the Bible says, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I'll never again curse the ground because of man. And instead of cursing the last remnant of mankind, the Lord God blesses them. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And here we are. This is the reason for this. And now it's our turn to thank the Lord. To thank the Lord that we have survived thus far. When hundreds of thousands of others haven't. To thank the Lord for saving our souls. Thank the Lord for our little ones that are now on board. To thank the Lord out of the storehouse of our precious cargoes. You know, one of the things we do each year as a church is we take up a special Thanksgiving offering here at the Lord's Licking Valley Church, and we designate our offering to one of the Lord's causes somewhere. Last year, if you'll remember, we took up nearly $36,000, and we gave it to one of the Lord's churches down in southeast Kentucky that had been forced to leave their condemned church building because of constant flooding. We wanted to help that congregation rebuild on higher ground just outside of town. And here's what they built. Lynn and I just worshiped there last Sunday. It's not a large building. It's nice. It seats about 110 people. Can we see the inside? Show us the next picture. Not a large building, but very nice. And they've built it all with their own hands. Now, there were a few of us here that went down and also helped them a little. But it's a small congregation. Couldn't handle debt. asked for contributions. Churches like ours came together, donated towards their cause, and now they're 99% finished. They have a little trim to install, a little more concrete to pour. That portico was not there last Sunday. That's what's been built this week, a drive-through portico, much like ours, smaller, of course, but very nice. And all because of your generous Thanksgiving offerings and the offerings of other churches and an incredible amount of their own hands-on labor down there, the Lord's Church in Martins, Kentucky is 99% finished with a $380,000 church building completely debt-free. Can we get a man? And I can't help but think that that is a sweet smelling savor to the Lord God in heaven. Now this year, our special Thanksgiving offering has been designated to help the Lookup Center down on O'Bannon Avenue provide Thanksgiving meals to local families who are struggling to provide for themselves. In addition, the Lookup Center has security camera and computer needs that we'd like to help with as well. But we would like them to continue offering these community meals. This is some of our own church ladies preparing meals, and we had to serve a lot of those meals this summer outside because of COVID to try to keep them safe. But people that don't get to go eat out, but now they can get out around other people and have a meal, a nice meal, prepared for them. Beyond just the meals, if we could see the next picture, we also able to have a look-up daycare activity moment through the summer for the different kids that they could safely distanced and masked enjoy. There was a winter coat giveaway, if we could see that picture, where little ones could receive the clothing that they would need for this winter season coming. Show these little kids as they're receiving their gift. Look at that little girl. She gets her new coat. How happy she is. This is not someone that gets to go to the store and buy a new coat every year. Look at those little mittened and gloved kids there. Beyond that, there's a free dental clinic down there for those that can't afford to go to the dentist and don't have insurance that would pay for them. There's an opportunity store down there where folks can try to replace furnishings in their homes that go out, refrigerators and freezers and stoves and chairs and couches and beds and things. There's a skilled trades program where unemployed folk go through training down there for different kinds of jobs, and upon graduation, they are offered full-time employment by companies that have trained them, all free of charge. And I hope we can give just as generously to that godly cause, and another sweet-smelling sacrifice can go up to God. We don't sacrifice animals anymore, thank the Lord. Oh, every once in a while I eat a burned offering at my table, but it was accidentally prepared. It wasn't deliberate. But we don't make animal sacrifices anymore because those old animal sacrifices, they pointed to the perfect Lamb of God who would be slain for the sins of the world, a sacrifice that we'll be remembering here in just a moment ourselves. But we still make offerings. We still give our sacrifices. We still show our gratitude. And I would pray that this year, we who can be numbered among the survivors we'll remember to express our thanksgiving to the Lord, who thus far has brought us through. God's people said, amen. Almost exactly 400 years ago, just over 100 pilgrims and strangers survived a 66-day journey across the northern Atlantic And on November the 11th, 1620, the Mayflower arrived at Cape Cod, where they sailed up and down the coast until they finally settled on Plymouth, Massachusetts, as a place where they would begin rebuilding their lives in the dead of winter. It was a winter in which less than half of them survived. But with the help of an Indian tribe, those survivors were able to plant and harvest a crop that allowed them to express their thanksgiving to God. And that's just what Noah did. Because that's what people of faith do. We look around at all those who didn't make it. And then we look up and thank the Lord that we can be numbered among the survivors, believing that the reason we can be numbered among the survivors is because the Lord, thus far, has brought us through. Let's stand. Let's thank the Lord together, could we? Lord, we thank you for bringing us thus far safely through. We ask that you will continue to bring us all the way through, and one day safely home to you. We thank you for Jesus, our ark of safety from the coming storm. And we pray, Lord, that someone new would consider joining us on board too, before the storm comes. We thank you for this chance to be saved, and they too. It's in Jesus' name we thank you. God's people said.